Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 10 in season 2 of the Neil Reynolds Podcast. We're well into our 2021 programming now, and with the NFL campaign also up and running, we're still bringing you the insight and stories we think just aren't available anywhere else. While you've been witnessing big matchups in the opening weeks of the season, we've been delivering you our own. We've featured Alan Faneker, of course, a newest member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We've welcomed in Indianapolis Colts head coach Frank Reich to the podcast. Urban Meyer, the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. There was also a quarterback special in episode 8 with our old pal Ryan Fitzpatrick, being joined by Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. So we're bringing you the big names and the big stories. And this time out is no different as we get into a Miami Dolphins special. One of the most popular teams in the UK. They're going to be in London for a game against Jacksonville in just a matter of weeks. So I've caught up with head coach Brian Flores, quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, and tight end Mike Gesicki. Before we get into these conversations, just a quick word to say you can also watch this episode for free on NFL Game Pass, along with all our other episodes from season 2 of the Neil Reynolds Podcast. NFL Game Pass is our presenting partner throughout 2021, and we'll have more on that later in this episode. So let's get started then. Here's Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores. Coach, let's start with 10 wins last year for the Miami Dolphins. Given your background, having been in New England, does 10 wins last year count for anything this year?
Last year we did some good things, but you know, as I've said to the players, last year was last year. We're really kind of focused on today, making improvements on a daily basis and just trying to get better as a team, which I think we've done over the course of training camp. But we don't really focus on too much that's gone on in the past. We really try to stay present, stay in the moment, which is what I preached to the team really the entire training camp and really since I've been here. I think they've done a good job of that. And I think that's how you see more improvement on a daily basis, and that's what we're looking for.
From the outside, maybe we look at the win totals and we see that as the sign of progress. As a coach, do you look for more than just how many wins you have as a team? Do you judge it a different way than we would, is my question?
I think, at the end of the day, I understand, why wins are important, and they're important to us. But I think we try to get, daily wins. And try to, win a meeting, win a walkthrough, win a practice. And I think if you string enough daily wins together, then the results kind of take care of themselves on Sunday. And that's kind of, our conversations with the players is to win today and win your preparation and win the meeting, win the walkthrough, win the practice. Do everything you can to communicate with your teammates, communicate with your coaches, work your fundamentals, work your techniques. And as long as you're doing those things, I think the results kind of take care of themselves.
Aside from those things that are a given, solid preparation, solid fundamentals, are there any key areas that you felt the team needed to take or make in order to take the next step this year?
Neil, I think you say those things are a given, and I think
no, they're not. You're right.
Say that.
You're right.
Once you start to say that, when you run into problems. But I'm sorry, I didn't hear the rest of your question.
No, that's absolutely. You are you are right, Coach, to point that out. That is not a given. You see that across the league. That aside, do you have kind of key areas in order for this team to make a next step that you kind of been focusing on?
Yeah, I think, the good teams in the league or the teams that have success are good on third down. They're good in the red zone. They're good in 2 minute. They run the football effectively on offense and they stop the run defensively. So Those areas we've put a lot of focus on, and we'll continue to put focus on those areas. But those areas, you can't have a good play without good fundamentals, good techniques, and good communication. So
absolutely, we'll
stick to that.
I appreciate you coaching me up, Coach. That's keeping me on my toes, making sure I get it right. What about the growth and development of Tua? What have you seen there? And we ask that again without everything falling down behind
you. Yeah, no.
I apologize.
Just no problem.
Yeah, if you could tell us about the growth and development of Tua going into his second year.
Yeah, Tua's, I think he's done a very nice job. You know, going into his second year, you know, that first year he was, there's so many new things that are going on as a rookie in the National Football League. You're going to a new city, new locker room, you know, trying to build relationships with, new players in the locker room, coaches, support staff. I think getting to know everyone's name is you know, that in itself is a little bit of a hurdle to get over. So this being year two, a lot of those things to include, obviously, the playbook and, you know, your fundamentals, your techniques and all of those things in your rookie year, that there's a lot of things you have to work through as a rookie. And I think, you know, and this being to a second year, a lot of the things that he was working through last year, getting to know people's name, learning the playbook, being familiar with the area here, you know, how am I going to get to, how do I drive to the facility? It's all a part of it. So now he can put, you know, a lot of his energy, or really all of his energy on football and the craft and his mechanics and the playbook and his rapport with his teammates, the O-line, the running backs, the tight ends, the receivers. And he's done a nice job of that. I think there's definitely been some growth, and we're excited about him this year. But again, we're going to, you know, always kind of take things one day at a time and try to build those relationships, one conversation at a time. And he's done a nice job of that. And he's certainly making improvements. And I think, again, you know, if we continue to make those daily improvements, then, I think the results take care of themselves.
Look at a couple of the additions, Jaylen Waddle through the draft, Will Fuller through free agency. Scream speed. Was speed an emphasis on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, speed's always good. I mean, no one's going to say, hey, I don't want speed on the team. I think as we, talked about, last year and how we could add some players to the team, our speed was part of that conversation. We were able to do that both through free agency and the draft. I think Chris Greer and his and the personnel staff did a great job from that standpoint. But yeah, I mean, speed is hard to defend. And I think the more you have of it, the more it opens things up offensively and defensively. So we try to add a little bit more speed to the team. We're happy to have those guys. They're working hard, and hopefully we can use some of that speed.
A wise coach once told me, speed's only useful if you know what you're doing with it, because otherwise it can just get you in the wrong position faster.
Well, yeah, but we can also, it also gets those defensive backs to, they gotta back up no matter what. So
I've got to respect that speed. Absolutely. Coach, let's talk a little bit about your kind of journey to where you are, your upbringing, maybe some of the challenges you had growing up in Brooklyn, and whether that means you can relate to, because players come from all different backgrounds, all different types of adversity they have to overcome to get to the NFL. So you overcoming challenges and then how that helps you relate to players.
I think we've all overcome some challenges, especially in this league. My personal journey growing up in Brooklyn, New York, and obviously had some challenges. I think those have, helped me in various ways, really throughout my life. And I think, in my conversations with players, in some instances they've had some similar challenges, and we can talk through those. And in some instances they haven't been similar. But I think the one thing that football does is it brings people from different backgrounds together. I've seen different guys from different backgrounds and created very close relationships with guys from different backgrounds. And I think it you know, the game is just, that's, I think that's one of the beautiful things of the game is you bring guys, you know, from, you know, white, black, rich, poor, you know, different religions. I think it's, that's one of the beautiful things about the game. I mean, you put them all in a room and you ask them to communicate, you ask them to trust one another, and it happens. And you know, that's one of the things I love about the game. But my background, I think it's you know, probably a little different than some other coaches, but, you know, not so different in that, you know, we've all dealt with adversity and had to overcome adversity and we'll continue to overcome adversity. And that's just life. And I think that you learn a lot of those life lessons from this game.
I read a quote from one story about you said, you were quoted saying you never back down from anybody. And I assume that's talking about your upbringing, but is that impacted on your team now? Is that a culture thing now you want to instill with the Miami Dolphins? You're not going to back down from anybody?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something that, you know, just growing up, I grew up in a tough neighborhood and, you know, if you did back down, you were going to get, you know, you're going to feel it every day. And that's something that stayed with me, not just from a physical sense, but, you know, in anything. I wasn't going to back down from a subject in school. I wasn't going to back down from, you know, really from anything. So, and I just kind of rolled with that. And I think our team is, you know, has some elements of that. I'm proud of that. I wouldn't say that's because of me. I think it's, you know, the guys we have on our team are kind of wired that way. The coaches are wired that way. Really, all the people in our building are wired that way. So there's, you know, there's a, you know, similar thought process there, and I think that works for us. And, you know, we're not going to back down. I mean, it's, you know, we're always going to play hard. We're always going to play tough. We're always going to, you know, give our best effort. And I think at the end of the day, that's all you can ask from your team, your employees, whoever you're, you know, people that are working with you.
Was that as important as the X's and O's? And of course the X's and O's are vital from play to play on a Sunday, but was the culture that you wanted to set when you arrived in Miami, was that as important as the playbook?
I think it's, you know, I think in a lot of ways it might be more important. Mm-hmm. I would say it is more important. I think, you know, when you want to bring in as many people as possible that are tough, that are smart, that are, you know, fiercely competitive, that love to play, love to coach, love to scout, love to cook, love to do nutrition, love to do the equipment, love to, you know, work in the training room, and our team first. I think that goes a long way. I mean, and I think that's how you build trust. I think trust is important in this game. I mean, it's hard to get two people to trust each other. We're trying to get 11 people to trust each other on a given play. So I think the culture is about people. I mean, I've always believed that culture is about people. And I think if you have good people, then you're going to have a good culture. And we've got a lot of good people. And I think, you know, we have people who are committed, who love what they're doing, who are tough, who are willing to work together. And that's much more important than, I would say, X's and O's.
Just a couple more, Coach. What lessons, or big lessons, I mean, I'm sure there were many, many. What lessons did you learn from your time in New England? And as a young scout and then becoming a coach, you must have felt like you were in just a wonderful place to learn.
Oh, well, I was swimming, you know. I was swimming in information and trying to, you know, be a sponge and learn it all and apply it. So early on, I'll be the first to say that, you know, there were instances where I was, man, this is a lot of information. How do I apply it? How do I use this? Am I doing this right? I mean, it was all such a great experience for me. I think, you know, if there was one thing that I would say, it's, you know, kind of taking it one day at a time, one play at a time. And I think if you look too far in the future, you're not putting the right energy into the moment, which is the most important thing. And the way you make those small incremental improvements that lead to, you know, the results that you're looking for. So, I mean, if there's one thing, it's that. But yeah, I mean, you know, as a young scout, you know, learning how to do things the way or see players in a different light than I did when I was obviously a player in college. And then when you get into coaching, you think as a college player, you think you have a pretty good idea of the game. And then it's, now you're in doctorate level football environment. And to take all that in early on, it was tough. It wasn't, I really don't know as much. But I spent a lot of time trying to learn it and still trying to learn it. I definitely don't have all the answers, that's for sure. But I think I've worked hard to try to get the answers for the players, not for myself, but for their benefit so that I can help them, reach their potential, which is, that's what coaching is. It's teaching, it's helping players or helping as many people as you can in the organization kind of reach their goals and do the things they want to do.
Last one, Coach. I think you kind of touched on this a little bit when you talked about the chef that loves football, the player that loves football, the cleaners that love the team and all of that. But is there something you expect of every Miami Dolphin? Is there a certain type of player? Are there certain traits that you want every player? Because it's a game for all shapes and sizes, all different positions. But is there something you would like to run through every one of your players if possible?
I think, we're looking for people who love to do what they're doing, who love to play, love to coach, and who are team first. I think there's a lot of sacrifices that have to be made in this game. There's a humility in making sacrifices. There's a selflessness there. Oftentimes, I think everybody wants to be a star. I get that. Everybody wants to have their name in a paper. I'm probably dating myself now.
Not to me.
Everybody wants to have their name in a paper, which is probably now Twitter or whatever it is. Wants their name highlighted. But in this game, it's the people who you don't see that are normally, the most vital piece to success. And oftentimes, that there's a selflessness, there's a humility to say, hey, that's the role that I want, and I don't need fame, I don't need status, I just want to help the team. And I think those are the things that if I'm looking for somebody to come in and be a Miami Dolphin, that's definitely a quality I'm looking for. Team first, selfless, and I think oftentimes when that is kind of embedded in your fabric, your name ends up in the paper.
So. you get there in the end. Yeah. Absolutely. Coach, thank you very much for your time. You've been very generous. Much appreciated. We'll be back with more from the Miami Dolphins after this short break.
Hi there, Neil Reynolds podcast listener. I'm Yarick Zaba, and I'm here to tell you about another Highway 61 network series called Broadway to Brazil. Broadway to Brazil takes a close look at the Corinthian Casuals, a side that play in the seventh tier of English football, yet have one of the most rich and significant stories that the game has to offer. In our second series, we've uncovered a whole host of incredible stories, from the day the Brazilian icon Socrates pulled on the pink and brown casual shirt, to the story of Andrew Watson, the first black international footballer, via a bizarre tale of Soviet visitors at the end of the Cold War. All of this and more help to explain why the Corinthian Casuals are a far from typical non-league side. Find Broadway to Brazil on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ryan Jensen, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
It's like when your high school friends meet your college friends. This was Tom Brady's response to the highly anticipated Week 4 game as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers returned to Gillette Stadium to play the New England Patriots. As we know, Brady spent 20 years with the Patriots and won 6 Super Bowl titles before leaving to join Tampa Bay as a free agent in 2020, where he added a 7th Super Bowl ring to his collection. History could also be on the line for Brady as he's due to break Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints' career passing yards record. Hinting at his inevitable retirement, Brady acknowledged that it's probably the last time he'll suit up at Gillette Stadium, so it's a match not to be missed. How will you watch it? Catch it live and on demand, or watch the highlights on Game in 40, Sunday in 60, or Coach's Film? All these options are available for you on NFL Game Pass right now. You can sign up for free with no credit card required at nflgamepass.com. And while you're there, you can also watch every episode from season two of the Neil Reynolds podcast.
Hi, I'm Bruce Arians, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
Welcome back to our Miami Dolphins special. This is, of course, the Neil Reynolds podcast presented by NFL Game Pass. Before the break, we heard from head coach Brian Flores, and I'm now joined by quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and tight end Mike Gesicki. So let's get into my conversation with this pair. Mike, I guess sometimes you can look back at 10 wins last year and use that as a positive, but maybe your coaches don't let you look back. They drive you on. Is that the case? Do you have something you can build on, or are you all about 2021?
Yeah. I mean, if you know anything about Coach Flo, you know, he's, just kind of focusing, day at a time and, focusing on the future now and focusing on today. But I think there is, some positivity and some momentum to build on off of last year. Just kind of, showing, what we're capable of. But also, there are some things that, we need to improve on from last year. And I think that that's, what we've been doing in training camp. And, like Tua said, we're excited to kind of get rolling here very soon here in week one.
Tua, what did you learn in the NFL? Obviously, you'd already been in the spotlight at Alabama, but I guess it's notched up, ramped up even a bit more for an NFL quarterback being in that Goldfish Bowl. What did you learn your first year in the league?
Yeah, I've learned a lot throughout my my first year playing. Coming from college football and then making that transition to the NFL, it's really a whole nother world. It's a different type of football where you learn from a lot of the older guys on how to prepare now, how to watch film, how to talk to guys and get things done the way you want, want things to get done. But I think communication is the biggest thing that I've learned throughout my first year is just, communicating to the guys up front, to the wideouts, to the backs, and everyone associated within the offensive meeting room.
What did you learn from Fitz last year, Tua?
I've learned a lot from Fitz.
Everyone laughs whenever you say Fitz's name. I just to fill you in, fellas, I actually went, I know Fitz pretty well. We went fishing together in Tampa for about 3 hours. Oh, what a day. It was a great day. So I know why people laugh as soon as you say the name Fitz, but what did you learn from him, Tua?
Yeah, no, I've learned a lot from Fitzy. And a lot of the things that I've said is things that I've learned from him, leadership, how to talk to guys, how to communicate what you want done. Also with Fitzy, he tries to keep things simple as possible for himself and for the guys around him. And that's kind of the take that, I've been trying to implement into, my game, with the guys that are in the huddle with us.
You both have beards, but I mean, that's not Fitz level beards. So.
Mine is leaving here pretty soon. It's a bad look for me. So Friday I'm getting a haircut and shaving my beard. So yeah.
I might do the same.
Yeah. Get ready for football. Mike, let's talk about your game and how you kind of feel you've progressed, because it does look like you've progressed every single year. Do you feel that way? Tell us about how you feel you've gone in your first few years in the league.
Yeah, I feel like, year by year, just kind of get more comfortable. The game kind of slows down a little bit. You're able to anticipate, what's going to happen before it happens. And then you're able to go out there and play fast. I think that the coaches have done a great job, putting me in a situation to be successful. And I think that, teammates have done well, just kind of playing their parts. And then, playing with a quarterback, like the guy I'm sitting next to, it makes the job a lot easier. Puts the ball where it has to be. And you just go out and make plays, and that's what I'm here for. So I know my role, I know my job, and I go out and try to execute at a high level.
Mike, I'm going to do that awkward thing where you have to praise the person sitting next to you now. So, I mean, what have you seen from Fitz?
I'm flattered. Yeah, I'm a smart guy. Right, I know what I'm doing.
You want those passes? What have you seen from Tua this year, and even when you came in, of course, special, but maybe even more so this year.
I've answered this one a couple of times now. I think the biggest thing is just kind of like the confidence, and you see it in the huddle, and how he addresses guys, how he's calling plays, getting up to the huddle, and then what I said before about just kind of get more comfortable. The game kind of slows down, and the anticipation factor. As a quarterback, you know, you're up there and you got reads, you know, that you're making for mic points, for offensive line protections. And then you're dropping back and you're looking at, you know, how the coverage is, you know, settling, and you're trying to make a read on who you're going with in the ball. So I think there's a lot of things that go into it. And I think that he's done a great job, you know, continuing to develop in that aspect of it. Been a great training camp, and you know, I'm excited for the season for him.
I'm glad you've answered that question a few times. Just reminds me that I don't have very original questions, but I will keep plugging on. I'll keep going. It's like, yeah, when they say that, hey, you know, when they say there are only a certain number of plays in the NFL, there are only a certain number of questions, right? That's it. Tua, can I just get a bit of background on obviously your, how much you loved football growing up? And I read that you even slept with footballs. Is that actually true? You slept with footballs in your bed?
Yeah, when I was little, I did sleep with footballs. You know, I think what was also pretty funny is I loved watching The Lion King. I could not go to sleep as a child if I didn't watch Lion King. And my first birthday party was themed The Lion King as well. So I had a thing for lions. I had a thing for, you know, football. My parents tried to get me into playing baseball, as well as basketball, but for me it was just a little too slow. So I played football year round since I was very young.
And following on from that then, too, when you had the injury at Alabama, did it obviously there's a mental side to that, there's a physical rehab, but there's a mental side as well. Did it kind of shake you and scare you that, you know, this precious thing you had in football, or did you always feel confident you'd be where you are now?
Yeah, I think whenever you go through something like that, you know, there's always in the back of your mind, what if, mm-hmm. You know, but I think for me, I've gone through a lot of injuries throughout my collegiate career. And, you know, kind of with the help and support of my family and my, you know, my teammates at the time and my friends, it's really helped encourage me to, you know, want to get back out there and continue to, you know, live out my dream, you know, and that's obviously to be here where I'm at right now.
What about for you, Mike, growing up, was it football first, or were there other sports in your life as a youngster?
Let me tell you something. I've seen Mike G windmill a basketball, like palming a whole basketball. So he tells you otherwise, yeah, he's lying.
Yeah, no, it was not football for a long time, actually. You know, like Tua said, it was basketball growing up. I started playing football in eighth grade, and I played quarterback, actually. Luckily for Tua here, I decided to switch my position. So I switched over to receiver when I got to high school, and that's kind of just where I've been since. Basketball was always my first, my first love in sports. And then obviously, you know, I just continued to develop at football, started to, you know, develop a love for that as well, and went on to, you know, play in college and so on and so forth.
I was going to ask you that classic question about did playing quarterback help you in the pros, but then I heard you said eighth grade, so maybe.
Yeah, no, listen, I didn't know a whole lot of what I was doing back then. I was just kind of throwing the ball to the spot and hoping it didn't go to the other team. That was pretty much it.
Like Tua said, keep it simple.
That's it. You got to keep it simple.
So this one's for both of you, so you can take a turn in answering. Does it still feel like a game at times? Does it still feel like something you're passionate about, or is there now a business side to it? Because I spoke to Coach Flores a couple of days ago, and he said he's looking for players who love football. So Tua, maybe you start. Does it still feel like a game at times?
Yeah, I would say the day it doesn't feel like a game, you know, is probably the day you should hang up the cleats. Mm-hmm. At least that's how I see it. But really I think that's what keeps guys coming back as well. You know, just the love of the game and the camaraderie that they get. You know, I don't think there's anything like being in the huddle with, you know, 11 guys and going out there and trying to execute a play.
You, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of, you know, going off that, I feel the exact same way. You know, if you watch, you know, the way that, you know, I play and this team plays, yeah, go out there, have a lot of fun. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, you make a play, you know, Coach Flores always tells us, man, you make a play, you know, go out, have fun, enjoy yourself, celebrate, and then you get ready for the next play. And I think you see that a lot. So I really enjoy myself going out there playing. And even, you know, the stuff around the building, you know, just meetings and, you know, hanging out with the guys and all that kind of, I mean, you don't get that in every job. So, you know, you come out here and, you know, like Tua said earlier, we're kind of living our dream. So
good time to be a tight end in the NFL, Mike.
I do think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of guys around the league, in this position, you know, going out and making plays, and I think they're doing a great job. So there's a lot of talent out there, and, you know, just hoping to continue to, you know, just get better and develop every single day. So, you know, so I can keep going out making plays.
What about what you've added as well to this year? Jalen Waddle, Will Fuller, guys who can really run to go alongside Mike and other guys returning. As a quarterback, that's got to be a wonderful problem to have when you've got to share that football around.
Yeah, no. You know, this is a question that I've got asked a lot too. You know, and, you know,
yep.
You know, the way I answer it, you know, and it's, you know, the God honest truth, you know, they all complement each other. You know, when there's speed on the field, you know, it complements, you know, someone like Mike being able to have a matchup, you know, and Mike being able to win that matchup, or us getting a good clean look on, you know, a linebacker on a running back or whatever it may be. You know, everyone that's out there complements, you know, some sort of play that we have or things that we have going in. So, you know, it's really good to have all of them out there.
Mike, I like to do all my research, read up on, well, I mean, I know you guys anyway, I'm a Dolphins fan. There's a Dan Marino book behind me somewhere, but
we'll get Dan here after this for you.
Yeah. I read that you like to make grown man plays. I mean, that's a big part of it now, isn't it?
That sounds like my
game. Why are you shaking your head?
I would say, you know, just kind of tough catches, catches, you know, where you're going across the middle, you know, they're high balls where you got to go up on somebody, things like that. And that's kind of something I take pride in, just kind of, you know, being detailed, being dependable, and, you know, just kind of making a play if the ball comes your way. You don't know how many opportunities you're going to get in a game. So when you have that opportunity, you got to make the most of it.
Too, obviously, Dan Marino is still around the team and was such a massive part of the Dolphins' history. Do you speak to him? Do you pick his brains, or does he kind of leave you to it?
No, yeah. Pretty much every day we have meetings. Dan's in our meetings, quarterbacks-wise. You know, Dan's able to share what he thinks, you know, we should do at times. And, you know, he has his input whenever he feels like he needs to speak up and say something. But there have been times where us in the quarterback room, you know, I've asked them about, you know, games back in the past where, you know, how were the 85 Bears, you know, when you guys beat them here in Miami and you guys beat them, you know, things like that. Who's the best receiver? You know, you just want to hear what he has to say. So
that's pretty cool. So you guys turn into fans.
Oh, of course. I think all of us, you know, are fans, and even against opponents, you know, some guys we grew up watching defensively, you know, and offensively. You know, although we're in the NFL, you know, I don't see anything wrong with still being a fan of someone.
Absolutely. Last one for both of you. Now it's your turn to avoid the cliches. You're not allowed to give us a bad English accent or anything like that. But Mike, how are you looking forward to playing in London?
I am excited. I think it's going to be a fun experience. You know, a lot of fun for, you know, the whole team to, you know, kind of pack up and go on the road for that week. And, you know, just excited to, you know, bring the NFL game, you know, back to London after, you know, last year, you know, we weren't able to get out there. So I think it's gonna be a great opportunity for both teams.
And Tua for you, Tua versus Trevor Lawrence. I know there's 106 guys on that field. I understand it, you know, but two great quarterbacks.
I think it'll be a great first experience for a lot of guys being able to play out of the country. For me, this is going to be the first time I've ever left the country. So, you know, it'll be cool to experience, you know, the world outside of, you know, the United States. And like Mike said, you know, we're looking forward to this season and we're very excited for it.
So there's my conversations with the Miami Dolphins. Looking forward to seeing them playing in London October the 17th. Let's bring in producer Gary Hayes, who's nursing a sore back. He's moving slower than Peyton Manning on a run at the end of his career. How are you, Gary?
Was Peyton Manning slow on a run at the end of his career?
Peyton Manning ran like a giraffe on ice, just to give you a mental image.
Well, I think I'd run like a giraffe, just not on ice. I don't know if that's a good thing.
So you've got a bad back, have you? It happens to the best athletes. All athletes will go through injuries and overcome adversity. You should know that from listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast.
Oh, no, editing all those hours. I think it's just carrying, you know, carrying this job for you, Neil. It's the pressure's getting to me.
Sounds like, was it where there's blame, there's a claim? Sounds like you're laying the groundwork.
I haven't seen one of those ads for years as well, actually. Maybe we should we should give them a call and they can come on here.
Well, they've just had we're just giving them a free one. Now they need to come and pay the toll man, so to speak.
The invoice is in the post.
Exactly. We have got just one question in the mailbag, but it's good to catch up with the Dolphins. Love Brian Flores' story from the mean streets of Brooklyn, New York, to head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Have you sorted out your display now at home as well? Because people would have seen it on the video version on Game Pass, wouldn't they, of your house collapsing?
Halfway through an interview with a head coach in the NFL, yeah, all the magazines took a dive, so not good. But he brushed it off, and I just kept going. You know, you just keep on rolling. You haven't got time to stop in this business. Keep going.
Professional.
Just keep plowing forward. Well, not that professional. I couldn't even get a magazine to stand up. What you got in the mailbag?
Well, yeah, like you say, it's just one question, and it is all about, we were talking about your job and me carrying the load for you, so this is about your job. And with this question, I think it's from Liam Holmes. He's not asking you about the podcast. I think he's asking you about your job generally. So no comments on the podcast, please, Neil. Now, is there anything you don't like and would change in your job? The coverage of the game in the UK has improved dramatically over the last 20 years. But is there anything you're not keen on and would change in an instant?
And I can't say my podcast producer, no?
That's strictly off limits.
All right. Not too much. I think, like, you know, like he says, we've got incredible coverage now. It's like never before. I think my role every now and then on Sky Sports on a Sunday is to make sure I ask the questions that, you know, maybe I already know the answer to, but I'm making sure we're inclusive to new fans. And I think that's important to do, but I also don't want to dumb the coverage down. So I don't like dumbing stuff down. So I don't think we need to find the latest. I could get myself in trouble here. I don't think we need to find the latest rapper or rapper. Don't look at me trying to pretend I know music. The latest rapper or music act. Stick them in an NFL shirt and think that that's going to sell tickets to games or something. You know, I just think, yeah, we do that quite a bit with, we've done that with, you know, for example, you get like a, I don't know, an England rugby player or someone, put them in an NFL shirt. I mean, I was guilty of doing that for years with Martin Johnson. I don't think we need to kind of do that stuff anymore. I think the game sells itself. The game is strong enough.
Everyone does do that though, don't they? Like just talking from...
No, it is everyone.
The background of football is that Drake has been a Chelsea fan, a Man United fan, a Barcelona fan, a Real Madrid fan. He probably doesn't even realise that he went to the games.
Well, that actually is what happens in the NFL as well. So I remember speaking to Aaron Rodgers years ago, and he was like, oh yeah, I'm a Liverpool fan. And, you know, I love Liverpool, and I've got a shirt that's been signed by the guys that played in Istanbul on the Champions League night. It's up in my den. Then the night Man City won, remember when Liverpool lost just once all season, but they lost the league to Man City. So not the year they won it, the year before when Man City won the league. Aaron Rodgers was doing a clip on NFL UK where they'd interviewed him at the Super Bowl. And he was talking about how he was a Man City fan. And I was really salty because Liverpool just lost the league, even though they'd only...
so maybe he had just seen the light and realised, what the hell am I doing supporting this team?
So I actually went on social media. I'm pretty sure he's a Liverpool fan last time I interviewed him. He got a load of abuse for it. But you're right. It's done in other sports. It's done across the board. My example of this is I don't think... Yeah, so I have a passing interest in watching England rugby, or I'll watch ice hockey. I don't think if you put Aaron Rodgers in an England rugby shirt, it's going to make me watch more rugby. Or if, you know, I don't know, you put my favourite comedian in a ice hockey shirt, it's not going to make me want to watch it more. But that's just probably me being a grumpy old man. There's they're influencers, aren't they, Gary? They influence people. That's what they do. Apparently, yeah. I got told once by an NFL UK, I'm an influencer. That's a bit scary.
I don't know, though. Maybe you're an influencer that comes with a bit more substance, because I do see them, and just around the sport I know best, being football, is that you see so many where they're trying to, the Premier League are desperate to get American viewing figures up, and they're just throwing any celebrity they can with a Chelsea shirt on, a Liverpool, United, anybody. Like, even Snoop Dogg, I think he played in Norwich once, and then he was wearing a Norwich shirt, and now everyone's like, oh yeah, he's a Norwich fan, and they're really pushing it.
I bet he ain't. Does it wind you up? Like, if so in your football world, if our American listeners refer to, oh, that was never a PK.
No, I appreciate that, because it's when I was younger, it used to annoy me. But then you realise that people adopt a sport and they talk about it in a way that they understand it. So, yeah. You know, when there's a field goal, I always say the conversion, right? Because I know it from rugby. So it might, yeah. Any purist listening to this, I do apologise. But I'll just talk, but that's when I'm talking amongst my friends, because I don't know the terminology as well, right? So I think if it's a route into it that helps you understand it, I think that's great. But it's just when you get the fair weather fans come along who will put on a Raiders cap because they're like, hey, the Raiders are cool.
Yeah.
You know? That's the stuff that will annoy me.
I think that's what I'm getting at, because I think to go back to Liam's question, there's very little to complain about. You know, with all the coverage we have, you know, we have wall-to-wall coverage of this sport. We have live games played in this country. We've got an academy sending players out to North America. You know, there's very little to complain about, but we also... I think we can let the sport sometimes stand on its own. And I think we do that. I think we're doing that more and more. You know, there's the content that goes out, the sort of coverage that goes out. You know, I think we recognize that there's a real serious fan base in the UK.
So what about time zones? Would you just like it if America got onto our time zone so you didn't have to get home at 4 or 5 a.m. on a Monday morning?
I don't mind that. I don't mind the time zones and kicking off 6 o'clock for a 1 o'clock kickoff. I tell you where I got really jealous. I was talking to, who's that? Which one's that?
That's one of my dogs, Hershey. Going,
which one?
Yeah.
Hershey.
I agree with you, Neil. I agree with you. Whatever you're about to say, he's agreeing.
Love Hershey.
That's him concurring.
Yeah, Hershey knows what I'm talking about. yes, Hershey, that's right. You're really stressed now, aren't you, Gary? As a producer, your producer's head on. Me, I don't care. Just leave all this in.
But I know, I'm thinking, I've got to mute my mic. I've got to cut this out.
I've got to edit this. You can't. No, keep talking, Gary. What do you want to tell me? Nothing. No?
No, nothing. I just want to hear your story. Go on.
I get really jealous when I'll talk to my son, George, who's obviously at Ottawa playing quarterback in college in Canada. And I came out from Sky the other night. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm just about to sit and watch the Baltimore-Kansas City game, because it's only 8 o'clock here at night. And I'm thinking it's 1 o'clock in the morning here. I'm never going to get to see all this game. I'm going to fall asleep. So I get a bit jealous then. So, you know.
Well,
I guess. Time zones are what they are. I can change many things in this world, Gary, probably.
I say we need to start lobbying government to just get everyone on our time zone.
No, I can't do that. So I tell you what I can't do right now is tell you who is on the podcast next week. I have been very, very busy in recent weeks writing a lot of London game programs.
You'd never know.
So I am going to open the little black book and I'll surprise you next week. So episode 11 will be a surprise.
Well, let's hope it's a good one.
Everyone likes that apart from you, because you like to be prepared.
I know, and if it turns up where it's Gary Hayes' NFL life story, everyone knows that something went wrong in the last week. And we got desperate.
If that happens, dear listener,
there will not be
an episode 11. Come back for episode 12. Would that work? Would we skip straight to 12?
It'd be like the Middle Ages. There'll be no text or anything whatsoever. It'll just be gone.
Absolutely. All right, Gary, go and put your feet up if you can get them up, because you've got a bad back. Look after yourself. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast. Remember, you can listen to it here and you can watch it for free on NFL Game Pass. Until next time, bye for now. Neil Reynolds podcast. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork, including the graphics and videos across our social media channels. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. This has been another Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.